Austin 316 says I just whipped your... Sit there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said, shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What? And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 98, AWOL, and we are covering September through October of 2001. Stone Cold is gone missing after losing the WWF Championship to Kurt Angle at Unforgiven. So we're going to be diving into what is going on with Stone Cold here. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV. As always, JV, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Hanging in there. It's kicking off the new year.
Yeah, and that brings up a point I wanted to make. I want to say one more time. I said it last week on our Hollywood Blondes episode, but I'm going to say it again to our listeners. Happy New Year. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because the Hollywood Blondes episodes are not as popular as our Stone Cold episodes, obviously, because, you know, that's what they're here for. They're here for Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the career of. So sometimes when we take the detour, we still get good listeners for those episodes. Some people like when we dive back to WCW stuff and early Stone Cold or early Stunning Steve Austin. But our listeners really want Stone Cold. So we get like a 40% drop off when we do the Hollywood Blondes episodes. And we did those for 2 weeks in a row, like we always do every new year. And midway through the year, we like to sprinkle those in. But yeah, I saw the drop, so I was like, yeah. It's a good time to say Happy New Year to our Stone Cold Steve Austin listeners because they've been away probably for a couple of weeks. So, welcome to 2021, and check those fucking episodes out. If you're listening to us, you'll like those damn episodes anyway, too. Doesn't matter what the topic is. It's me and JV. So listen. Understand? All right. Thanks for the support, as always. I'm Mike Prue again. You can follow me on Twitter at MPRU83. You can follow JV at John Van Damage, John with an H, John Van Damage, and also follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Cast. So we're getting right back into it. Episode 98 in the chronological series of episodes. Now, when we get to 100, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that great of a milestone because we've already done like over 140 episodes.
Yeah, I know.
So it's not that special when we do it because it's not really the 100th episode.
Probably like 170.
Well, including the ECW ones that we do too.
Yeah, I count that, all that work.
Yeah. It's crazy we've done that many episodes in total. Yeah. So anyway, this week we'll be covering the fallout of Unforgiven 2001, where Kurt Angle has just become the WWF champion after beating Stone Cold Steve Austin in kind of a controversial finish. You have Kurt Angle get the ankle lock on Austin, but Austin's hand goes right underneath the ropes as, you know, he's trying to reach for the ropes, but he gets his hand underneath the rope, and he starts tapping right away. So that's kind of a out for him to say, shit, I didn't submit, you know, even though he did tap, so they have that. He did tap, but his arm was underneath the rope, so that was probably going to come into play during this week's episode. And we call it AWOL this week because he's missing. He's going to go missing during this time. So this is the rare episode where we don't have much of Stone Cold at all. It's all centered around Stone Cold, but we ain't going to be hearing from the Rattlesnake on this episode. So there's that.
Surprise, motherfucker.
He's missing. We could have called this MIA. He's missing in action on this one.
But this all plays into Austin's not here, but he's here in he's here in presence.
Right,
not
he's
presence,
lingering.
The fuck is the word? I suck with words. Why do I do a podcast? I can't talk.
But he's lingering though in the background of all of this. You know, yeah. It's all centered around him.
His presence is felt.
Right. I think you had it right the first time, and you didn't need to say anything else. You got it. You know what you're fucking talking about. All right, so let's move on to Raw. We're going to get right into Raw from the night after Unforgiven. It's live from Columbus, Ohio. It's Raw 435, I think. For you new listeners, I think, because I think we lost track at some point, and they don't give us the numbers anymore on the network. But anyway, we're going with Raw 435. And Shane Douglas, because of our ECW podcast, Shane McMahon is going to come out and address the Alliance. He's going to do that in the backstage area. So that's our first clip. And another thing to forewarn you about is not a lot of clips this week because, again, there's not a lot of Austin. So here is one of our clips. It's Shane addressing the Alliance. It's about 4 minutes. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Man, I gotta do something, man. Them suckers, they stole something from me last time. I want my title back. I want my title back tonight.
Hold up a sec. Guys, listen up. The Alliance cannot afford to have another night like we had last night at Unforgiven. Okay? And when Stone Cold Steve Austin walks through that door, each and every one of you should get up and shake that man's hand. Go up there, you should give him a standing ovation. And why? Because Stone Cold Steve Austin last night did not lose. Hear me. Did not lose the World Wrestling Federation Championship. No. I have the tape right here to prove it. Everyone remembers the match. Kurt Angle had Stone Cold right there in the ankle lock. Austin had his hand, right hand, reached underneath the rope.
I saw it.
Grabbing the apron. Yes, Austin did tap with the left hand. However, everyone knows, when you reach the rope, you have to break the hold, correct? Yeah. You have to break the hold, and the match resumes.
Yes.
Therefore, Stone Cold is still the champion. And when Austin gets here, there will be hell to pay.
Yeah.
But Stone Cold Steve Austin was not the only one screwed by, once again, senior official Earl Hebner. No, there were two other people here in this room. Besides the entire Alliance being screwed, in particular, myself and Booker T.
Yeah!
We were screwed by Earl Hebner.
Screwed!
We were thwarted. Our attempts were thwarted because we did not defeat The Rock. We did not bring the WCW title back to the Alliance. So tonight is going to be all about revenge.
Yeah.
Hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All about revenge.
Y'all here for my birthday?
How can you be thinking about your birthday after the night that we had last night? This is not about that. Again, guys, tonight is about revenge.
No. Okay? See, Shane, that's where you're wrong.
No, not wrong.
You are wrong.
Wrong.
Tonight is not about revenge. Tonight is about leadership by example. The Alliance needs to take a stand.
Yeah.
And there is one person who has stood out to me. One person who has shown he is a natural born leader. Someone who did everything that he said he was going to do last night at Unforgiven. And that man is Rob Van Dam!
Wow.
That's right, Rob. That's right, Rob. Calm down, okay? That's why tonight I'm going to give myself a birthday present. Tonight, the WCW title is going to be on the line. Tonight, it's going to be The Rock versus Rob Van Dam. The WCW title is coming back home! The WCW title is back in the Alliance!
And guys, leadership by example, exactly. Exactly what Steph said. Excuse me for a second. Because tonight, the champion's champion, Booker T, will bring home for us World Wrestling Federation gold because Booker T is going to challenge Kurt Angle for the WWE Championship. That's right. You bring that home. Oh, yeah. First time.
Tournament of the Rock versus RVD WCW title. Welcome to Jerry.
All right, so Shane's backstage. He has the Alliance all together with him. And he tells them that they cannot have another night like they did last night at Unforgiven. So Shane says everyone should give Austin a standing ovation when he gets to the arena. And when he walks through that door, you guys better be cheering for him. So Shane's going to recap the end of the match, but JV, what did he have in his hand there?
He has a like a blue a VHS tape in a see-through blue case.
Yeah.
Which that's old school, because remember you'd get like, usually the VHS cases were like clear. Like if you rented a video, you didn't get the actual box.
Right,
you got that it came in. Case. So like some people might not know what a VHS tape that are listening because it's really fucking old.
That's true.
So a VHS tape was what predated DVDs. And they were like an oversized cassette tape, but instead of audio, they were video. You used to have to rewind them and shit.
Please be kind and rewind.
Yeah. And so the case they came in, you know, would have the cover art for the movie. You know what I mean? So if you got like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the cover. And it was like a sleeve and you just kind of slid the VHS tape inside. But when you rented a movie or if you had like a homemade movie, you didn't have a fancy like cardstock holder. Like you actually use like a plastic case. So usually they were clear, but in some instances you'd get like different colors like magenta or in this case cyan. So it wasn't really like
you have to buy those shit in stock too, separate. Like, oh, I gotta get a bunch of VHS cases. I just gotta get the cases.
So it's funny just to see in 2001, you know, VHS, you know, still had a hold on the market.
Yeah, that's funny. You bring that up, case, and they got me to thinking about the cases because you'd buy the blank tapes. Oh, say you buy like the JVC. And
it comes
in a sleeve, and you can just use that. Like that. Yeah, they all came in, all the cassettes came in the sleeves for, like, if it was Memorex or JVC, you know, Sony, whatnot.
Yep.
Memorex. Did I say Memorex? Whatever.
Memorex, yep.
Yeah. So they'd come in the sleeve, but they look cheap as fuck. So you didn't want it to be in that. You wanted to get a nice special one. Or some people, they wanted their collection of VHSs to look all uniform. So you'd get the clear cases. Or in the case of my father, actually, and this goes back to the mid-80s to the late 80s, he had all the black cases. You remember the black cases? The black cases would have just a sliver of plastic on the front where you could like slide an index card or a piece of paper where you could write the name of the movie.
And you could write the name on it, yes. Yeah. Yep.
And just slide it right in there. So he had all those black ones, but then a little later in the early 90s, they started doing the clear and the different colors. But yeah, that fucking brings me back too.
Yeah.
Because I had a shit ton of them. I'm sure, you know, many of your listeners that are around our age in your 30s, you know, you remember that as a kid. Man, I had a shit ton. My biggest regret is I recorded so much fucking wrestling and I just dumped it all, got rid of it.
You like, used to, you were a recorder. You used to have tons of tapes of wrestling, dude.
So everything that was on, I was recording it. I would scour the TV guide and just go with a highlighter, go through fucking when's wrestling on, and set the timer.
You were a recorder, period. You record your video gameplay, yeah, all that shit, dude. You were ahead of your time.
Eh, shit. Man, fucking lonely, I guess. I don't know. That's true, though, because I spent a lot of time at my grandparents, and it would just be me. So I'm fucking...
Yeah.
Well...
Get entertain yourself.
Right, the things I want to watch, I got to record them.
Because, and bring them there.
Right. All right, so anyway, let's move on from there. All right, so Shane recaps the end of the match, but points out that Austin had his hand under the rope when he was tapping out. So Shane says Austin is still the champion because the hold should have been broken. You know, he should be the champ because that hold should have been broken. They shouldn't have just called him out because he was tapping. Earl shouldn't have known enough to see that his hand was underneath the rope. Now, still, to me, I don't know if that jives well with me, the hand under the rope. We've always been under the expectation that you need to have your hand on the rope to break the hold. That's what they've always shown. I don't know any instances where I've ever seen somebody's hand go under the rope and they're demanding, break the hold, break the hold.
Neither have I. This seems uncharted waters here for this type of...
And there's got to be something to it. It's probably a rule that was used Not in the WWF. It's probably used somewhere like the NWA in the 80s.
Yeah, another territory.
Right. Older territories. And then they decided, yeah, let's bring that here. It's like, well, this fan base doesn't fucking know that rule. So anyway, that's the reason why it's kind of eh to me. But it gives Austin an out. Gives him a reason to be pissed off about the finish here. And a reason for Shane to be pissed off about it too. All right, so Shane says Austin was not the only person screwed by the senior official Earl Hebner. Shane says that he and Booker T were also screwed by Earl Hebner. And Booker T goes, yeah, screwed. Booker T's becoming a goof as of late, too.
Yeah, they're kind of, he went from being a convincing threat.
Yep.
And now he's kind of going the wrong way on the ladder of talent.
Exactly. He's going towards the Chris Canyon direction.
Yeah, which is weird because
being a goof. Right, because he came in as the champ and, big threat. But yeah, that's changing here. So Shane says tonight will be all about revenge. It's going to be all about revenge tonight because of Unforgiven. But Stephanie comes in and says it's her birthday and it's not going to be about revenge. Shane says, well, you shouldn't be worrying about your birthday tonight. It's not about you. It's not about your birthday. Stephanie says, it's not about revenge. It's about leading by example, taking a stand. So Stephanie says that she knows who the leader is here. She says, there's a natural born leader here. There's one person. That one person is Rob Van Dam. And it's funny because as she's like building up who the leader is, who the leader of this alliance is, you have Booker T off in the corner, just to the right of the camera. You can see him. He's down. He's doing his handshaking thing. Like she's about to say his name, but she says, Rob Van Dam. And he's all dicked off. So he's thinking that Stephanie's going to say his name. Stephanie tells Booker to calm down because he's all pissed off. And Stephanie's going to make a match for RVD to take on The Rock for the WCW Championship in the main event. So Shane jumps in, makes a match for Booker T to take on Kurt Angle for the WWF Championship in a main event match also. All right, so we move on a little while later. So this is not in the clip that you've seen, that you listened to just moments ago. You have Trash Canyon. He goes up to RVD. He tells him how nervous he is about Stone Cold showing up and taking his frustrations out on him because, who better than Canyon to take your frustrations out on? I thought it was a nice way to work it in.
Yeah, so it
was. RVD builds Canyon up, builds his confidence up, says, like a true leader, he builds it up. And then Raven even comes to RVD. He asks for advice. Stephanie tells RVD that she's impressed with him, that, he's going to be the next leader of the Alliance if he wins the WCW Championship from The Rock. So RVD keeps getting that pat on the back that, hey, you're the guy. And all the guys are going to him, asking for advice. And Austin's not here, so they need somebody to look up to. So that's RVD at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked compelling, over the past few episodes that we've covered and in the spots he's had against, top-tier talent in the company. So that right there, Who better than RVD?
Yeah, there you go. Good one. Yeah, you're right, though. He's been in great matches. He's been helping everybody out. And he's not crazy. He's not putting people down. Shitting on everybody. All right, so anyway, move on now to the next audio clip. It's backstage also. Shane confronting Earl Hebner about the match last night at Unforgiven. So take a listen to that. It's about 2 minutes. And we'll be right back.
Come in.
I understand you got a couple questions for me. A
couple questions?
Yeah.
Let me first start off by saying, Earl, you screwed Booker T and I out of the WCW Championship last night. You're a WWF official. Let's put that on the side over here for a second. Because something else happened. You screwed Stone Cold Steve Austin out of the WWF Championship. Well, don't shake your head. I thought you might shake your head like that. Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Oh, really? Well, I beg to differ. I begged. I just so happened to put this together. I want you to look with your own eyes. There's Kurt Angle. Yes, there's Stone Cold. There's you. He's in the ankle lock. But look, is Stone Cold reaching underneath the bottom rope with his right hand, grabbing the ring apron? Is he not? Is Stone Cold, Steve Austin, did he not have his hand underneath? Underneath!
He's tapping.
Left hand.
It was an honest mistake.
I'm sorry? I'm sorry?
Say that again? It was an honest mistake. But my decision stands. Kurt Angle is still the WWF champion.
Yeah. You're refereeing the WWF championship match next, right?
Yes, I am.
To Kurt Angle and Booker T?
Yeah.
Well, since I'm banned from ringside, and I cannot point out little mistakes like this for you, since I can't point them out, let's make sure that they don't happen again. Catch my drift? And Earl, if I were you, when Stone Cold Steve Austin gets here, then I make myself scarce. Now go do your job. Don't make any more mistakes. I made a mistake.
The tape does not lie. Austin's anger is justified.
Well, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he hasn't arrived. Curtis Angle and Booker T next.
All right, so Shane confronts Earl, brings him into his dressing room, and he's going to show him the footage from his VHS tape. And he's showing the footage of Stone Cold being screwed at Unforgiven because his hand was under the rope. Earl looks at it and simply says, well, he's tapping. Earl then goes on to say, because they saw the hand under the rope, he goes, it was an honest mistake. It's an honest mistake. But my decision stands. Kurt Angle is still the WWF champion. So Shane is pissed off. He's beside himself. Shane warns Earl that he better not make a mistake like that again during Kurt Angle's match with Booker T. So Shane gives warning to Earl that he better disappear when Stone Cold arrives at the arena tonight. Go do your job. Don't make any more mistakes. And then Earl Hub is like scurrying away. And I'm just thinking to myself, yes, fucking put that guy in his place.
Well, it's weird that he's saying he made a mistake, but as we were just saying, it's not clear that that's the fucking rule.
Well, we don't know that, but that's what they're going with.
Like, yeah.
I'm confused about it because we never see it called. Earl Hebner, he's the senior official, right? So
yep.
He would know to call that if that was actually a rule. So apparently it is because you have Shane McMahon saying, hey, that's the rule. And he's one of the owners of wrestling companies, so WCW. So you would think that he would be aware of the rules too. And I guess, you know, by Earl saying it's an honest mistake is admitting that, okay, that is the rule and I missed it. Storyline wise.
Yeah.
But, you know, truly, you know, booking wise in reality, it's shitty. Because the fans aren't even aware of that rule of having it under the rope. At least in my opinion. I could be fucking totally wrong. And everybody else listening right now would be like, what the fuck, man? You should know that.
Yeah, maybe we should know it.
But we haven't fucking seen it.
Yeah. And
so anyway, JR and Paul Heyman hype up the upcoming title match between Angle and Booker T. So here we go. It's WWF Championship match, Kurt Angle versus Booker T. We get USA chants. They're very strong, still here in late September. Kurt Angle is being treated as the American hero that they're pushing him as and as he is in the minds of the WWF wrestling fans. Paul Heyman constantly brings up how pissed off Stone Cold Steve Austin will be when he shows up tonight. So they're constantly pushing that. Stone Cold's here. He's going to come here. He'll be here soon. But we'll see about that. So anyway, just cover the finish of this match here. Angle attempts an angle slam on Booker. Booker counters and pushes Angle into Earl Hebner, which is going to happen often over the next couple of weeks. Booker nails Angle with a side spin kick to Angle's injured neck. Booker gets the championship belt, and he lays out Angle. So So Booker goes for the cover. Earl is still selling his injury. He doesn't make the count right away. You know, and he creeps over. Then he goes, he makes the count, but that gives Angle enough time to recoup and kick out. Kurt counters Booker T's finishers and is able to lock in the ankle lock. Booker T taps out. Angle retains the title at 52 minutes into the episode. You know, and at this point, this is when you would expect Austin to show up, right? Angle wins the title. Austin
yeah, that's what fucking, I was expecting.
Fucking lays him out, and then, you know, the story continues. But nothing. No Stone Cold. Stone Cold does not show up. All right, so there's one more match that was set up in the opening of the show here, and that's the WCW Championship match. So that was The Rock versus Rob Van Dam. So let me just break down what happened there. And this is at the very end of the show, so kicks off at 1 hour 26 minutes into the show, goes for 1 hour 35 minutes to the 1 hour 35 minute mark. Okay, so The Rock cuts a brief promo on Stephanie talking about her birthday. Says, "Happy birthday, Steph. You're a hoe with big breasts. So take a night off from hooking if you smell what The Rock is cooking." What the fuck?
Take a night off from hooking. Jeez.
You're God, a hoe geez. With big breasts. That's funny. All right, anyway. Stone Cold has yet to arrive to the arena at this point. Stephanie heads to the ring to support RVD, her new boy toy, it seems like. There's just like sexual tension going on there with those two.
Big time.
At this point. So this is the first encounter that we ever see between The Rock and RVD, which is pretty cool. It's a hell of a match also. So I would definitely go back and check this out to see The Rock and Rob Van Dam. It's cool because it's something you don't expect. So RVD is looking like a star with The Rock here. Stephanie gets involved, and just a little aside here, her ass looked amazing in the outfit that she has on.
And everything does.
And she's just, for me, I've never really thought she had a nice ass, but hey, it's working in this outfit that she's got on. Yeah,
and like, I gotta agree with you, bud.
Yeah, and like you said, everything's going on.
Her rocking tits.
Was that a British?
It's from South Park.
Oh, okay.
And then a heavy metal episode where, like, basically the kids all get high off, like, cat piss. And it brings them to, like, a different... Yeah, they get, like, cats.
Oh, shit.
They scare the cats, and the cats, like, spray a little bit of piss. And they, like, smell it, and it gets them all high. And it brings... You know what heavy metal is?
The movie? Or the...
Yeah, it was, like, yeah. A movie, like, yeah. A cartoon theme shit.
Yeah.
Like, weird animation.
Yep.
And, So, like, they go to this world, and it's, like, there's this one chick, and she's, like, they're, like, Amazonian. And
oh, yes, yes. Titties. She's, like, the main, like, poster figure of the movie, right?
Yeah. And then, so that her dad's, like, who's here to see my daughter's rocking tits? So every time I see, like, rocking tits, I think of fucking that. I don't know. Great. I'm fucking weird.
Stephanie is an Amazonian with a rocking tits.
Yeah. Like she kind of fits the mold of
she's
the
tall.
Chick
she's a tall chick too.
Yeah.
Well stacked and built. All right. Anyway, so in the match now we have RVD goes for a 5-star splash, and Steph pushes the ref into the ropes out of anger, which leads RVD to fall off the top rope, and that brings him into the ring. Rock picks him up, hits the rock bottom for the win. Stephanie's pouting, stomping up and down. It's her birthday. She's upset. She screwed her man, RVD. And meanwhile, Stone Cold, missing in action. AWOL, not on the job, as he should be. I don't know anything behind it. I really think it's just a storyline decision to have him off. I don't think
give
it
him
was.
A break.
Yeah. Maybe give him a break, too. And I'm thinking that because, you know, we do the house show rundown at the end of the shows. And he's on the house show, so he's not really off.
Oh, he's still traveling.
But,
okay.
Yeah, so he's just off of these shows. So I guess they maybe gave him a break from these shows, but he's still on
he
the
gives
road.
His character a break, too, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's good to do that every once in a while. And even still, like we said at the top of the show, his character is still the main focal point of the show. He doesn't even need to be there. It's just lingering. He's haunting the show. Really.
Yeah.
All right, so with that said, we move on to SmackDown 109, and JV is going to lead the way through this very brief segment, I think. So, JV, what do we got here on SmackDown?
All right, so we're at SmackDown 109 from September 27th, 2001. This is a taped episode. We're in Dayton, Ohio. And so basically, speculation here is continuing about where Stone Cold Steve Austin was on the Raw that Mike just covered. So the Alliance members are now thinking he's gone berserk. Like, you know, where's their leader? What the fuck? It's like if your boss didn't show up for work for a fucking couple days, it's like, and you don't know what's going on. It's, you know, it's worrisome. So RVD's here with his all stoned out. You know, he's got his stoner demeanor as usual. And he's continuing to be a calming leader to the worried Alliance members, you know, such as Rhino and Canyon. So Stephanie talks to RVD backstage and says, "I believe that once is not enough." RVD responds, "Yeah, I heard that about you." Steph made a, you know, there's the
sexual innuendo.
Yeah, that you were talking about. Steph made a return match from Unforgiven between RVD and Chris Jericho. Steph says she will be right by his side, but based on what happened on Monday night against The Rock, RVD doesn't want her to do any favors. So, you know, stay the fuck away. You know, you might do more harm than good. You might mean well, but might not end up that way. And he's probably suspect of her as well. You know, hey, you know, you never trust the McMahon. So Steph responds, "I happen to be very good at doing favors." So, you know, another one there. Stephanie ends up taking a bunch of bumps during the match. RVD hits the Van Daminator on Jericho for the win. You know, at this point now, Stephanie will be out injured for the next week. But yeah, it's cool whenever you get to see RVD do the Van Daminator.
Yeah, you don't see him much in WWE. It's rare. At this point, it's rare.
What's his name kind of change? Doesn't Shane McMahon kind of steal that? Shane McMahon does something similar, right?
Yeah, he does something that he's been doing, the coast to coast with the.
What does he call it?
Coast to coast.
Oh, he calls it coast to coast.
Okay. Yeah, where he sets it up with the guy on the other side, and then he either puts a chair or a trash can.
Trash barrel or something. Yeah. All right. So that brings us to the match. It's the WWE Tag Team Championship match, and it's the Dudley Boys versus the WCW champion The Rock and WWF champion Kurt Angle.
Which,
if you want to check out the match, that's at the 1 hour, 13 minute, and 41 second mark.
I was going to say, that might be, well not might be, probably. This is definitely going to be the first time that you have WCW champion and WWF champion as a tag team, right? We didn't see that yet.
I don't think we have. I mean, it would have been Booker T and Stone Cold.
Booker T and Stone Cold? I don't think they did.
They might have paired.
Yeah, they might have. Though. You're right. Fuck. Okay. So, yeah, I'll go back to probably or maybe.
Yeah. All right. And that leads us now into, you know, some pre-match audio. And we have Kurt Angle, and he's coming out to have his match here with The Rock against the Dudley Boys. But before that happens, he's at the top of the ramp, and he has some words for Stone Cold. So we're going to lay out for this audio clip. It's only about a minute, so give it a listen, and we'll be right back.
You know something? I'm glad I won the WWF title and all. But the more I think about it, the more that something doesn't seem right. You see, one of my three eyes is integrity. And Stone Cold, I realized when you were tapping out at Unforgiven that your hand, your other hand, was underneath the rope. So Stone Cold, wherever you are, if you want this title back, if you think that I should give this title back to you, well, you can kiss my red, white, and blue ass!
Yeah!
Woo! How dare he!
All right, so Kurt Angle says he's happy to have won the championship, but the more he thinks about it, the more something doesn't feel right about it. Kurt points out that one of his three eyes is integrity, and he realizes that when Austin was tapping out, Austin had his hand under the rope as he was tapping out at Unforgiven. So right now, Kurt's kind of like, where's the integrity of my victory? And, you know, and as an individual, at least that's how he's positioning it. But Angle says, Stone Cold, if you want this title back, if you think I should give this title back to you, well, you can kiss my red, white, and blue ass. Woo! So I like the turn there by Angle, because it looked like, where is he going with this? He ain't going to, like, fall for this trickery.
I thought he was, actually.
I did, too, as I was, like, you know, going through the notes. But Angle isn't having any of it. So then, like I said, it was a quick audio clip. Then The Rock's music hits, and he starts walking down the ramp for his tag match. You know, meanwhile, a limo has arrived in the back. Michael Cole and Paul Heyman are on commentary, and they're speculating if that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Heyman says, if it is Stone Cold, this could be one of the worst days in the WWF. This is trouble with a capital T. All right, so this gets us into the match. We're not going to cover much of the match. We're just going to get right to the end here. But it's the WWE Tag Team Championship match, and it's the Dudley Boys versus the WCW champion The Rock and WWF champion Kurt Angle. Not, I don't think we've seen this before, right, Mike?
I was thinking that. I don't know if...
The only other people that could have paired were Booker T and Stone Cold, right?
Right. That has to be the only ones. Shit, I hate to not remember that, but it can be such a blur at times with all the matches that there's been. Yeah, I can't remember a notable Booker T and Austin pairing.
Yeah, so at least not defending the belt. Well, not
just in a tag team match.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, because they're. Oh, well, whatever.
At least in this case, they're going for the titles.
Yeah, so this is more specific. Yeah. So they're both the champion. They're both, you know, A-title champions, WCW and WWF respectively, and they're going for kind of like a lower-tier title, which is a tag team title. So The Rock and Angle have this match won. Angle has the ankle lock on, and The Rock has the shitty sharpshooter on the Dudley Boys, you know. Fucking The Rock sharpshooter just never looks good, dude.
Bad. It sucks.
Yeah. But whatever. I wouldn't tell it to him.
It's like when he's squeezing down, it's as if he's pretending there's like two pillows between his ass and the other guy's ass or something.
It almost looks like his back hurts trying to do it.
I didn't think of it that way, but that's a good call.
But of course, Shane, Test, and Booker T run in, and they cause Angle and The Rock to break their holds. Shane then comes out and lays out Earl Hebner. Michael Cole yells, where did they come from? Paul Heyman, this is funny. Paul Heyman responds, the locker room. Where the hell do you think they came from?
Yeah, I love that.
Heyman's fucking gold. Basically we learn here, it wasn't Austin's limo in the back. It was Shane O'Mac's. The Dudley Boys, 3D Angle and The Rock through a table. And, you know, the Alliance have now destroyed the WWE and WCW champions. So this almost kind of seems like one big elaborate setup, clearly. I don't even know how elaborate it was. Like, you know, the Alliance wants both belts. They don't have either of them right now. And, you know, what way to kind of soften up the championships and make it a little easier for them to get them than to kind of ambush them here in the ring in a match with the Dudley Boys.
All right, and you also think, though, this is another opportunity for Stone Cold to come out and be able to beat the hell out of Kurt Angle with the Dudley Boys out there and, you know, The Rock maybe being injured too. But nope.
No, I agree. Even at this point, I was expecting it too. I'm like, all right, it's a SmackDown. So, you know, we'll go into the weekend and then they'll pick up on Raw and Stone Cold will be back. You know what I'm saying? Like to go the Monday of Raw and the SmackDown and not see Stone Cold, it just didn't feel like that was going to happen.
Right. Or even like he had a match at Unforgiven. Maybe he needed Monday off.
Yeah.
So that he would be on the SmackDown taping the next night on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, all right, he might be ready to go for that night. But no, he's still not ready. So going into the next Raw, you think he's got to be on that Raw, right? It's a fucking whole week.
Yeah. So basically, this SmackDown ends with Michael Cole saying, "The Dudleys have ruined another great week for The Rock and Kurt Angle, but he can guarantee you this, The Rock and Kurt Angle won't forget this night." So not much coverage here for SmackDown from me. You know, not much going on. The focus is kind of going otherwheres with this SmackDown. They're kind of developing other talent and shit, kind of giving them the spotlight. So that's it for this SmackDown. So I'm going to hand it out off to Mike to cover Raw 436 from October 1st, 2001. And this one's live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right, thanks, JV. We're back now. It's Raw 436 live from Baton Rouge, like JV said, Louisiana. And we're going to kick off with an audio clip. And Kurt Angle, he's going to come out and he's going to address Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, "Hey, man, where the fuck are you?" So take a listen to Kurt Angle, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes.
Become WWF champion and a hell of an athlete.
Your Olympic hero has some unfinished business with the Dudley boys he needs to take care of. But first, I've got some sad news. Word on the street is, once again, not scheduled to show up here tonight is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And my source has put that out on the street, I might add.
Now, maybe that's the truth, and Austin's not showing up. Or maybe Austin's saying he's not showing up because he is showing up and he wants it to be a surprise.
That might be the case.
Or maybe he's just a horse's ass. I don't know.
And that is definitely true. It is true.
But whether or not he shows up here tonight, the fact is he hasn't been seen on TV since I beat him for the WWF title. Woo!
That's another fact.
So, Austin, what's the deal? Are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed? Are you hungover?
No.
What?
What?
See, Austin, there's no shame in losing to an Olympic gold medalist.
And that is true.
You see, Austin, there's nothing embarrassing about tapping out to relieve yourself of the horrible pain. There's nothing embarrassing about relieving yourself in your tights after tapping out to the horrible pain.
He's right,
you see,
Paul.
Austin, it's okay. Because, Austin, I'll tell you what. I don't want to embarrass you. And I don't think anyone here tonight wants to embarrass you. So if you are back there, I say you stop with this ploy and you stop playing games. And you come out here, right now. Oh, it's true.
Well, if Austin's here, the rattlesnake's being called out.
I just told you what my sources tell me. Austin's not here. What, don't you believe me?
Sometimes your sources aren't too reliable.
What? How dare you?
All right, Austin. If that's a game you want to play, that's fine. Now, as far as the Dudley boys are concerned, this is mine.
Now, this is not the Dudley boys. But it is the WCW champion. It is the Incredible Rock. And he is receiving a...
All right, so what you don't see when this segment first starts is you have Paul Heyman, and he's at the announce booth and just glaring, staring at you is this giant fax machine on the announce table.
Monstrous.
Paul Heyman tells JR that it's modern technology. He has inside information that Stone Cold won't be here tonight, but he will contact him via fax machine tonight. So while watching this, you know, based on what we were just saying too about Austin, you know, being out for a little while, or was he given time off, or was it just part of the angle they didn't want him on here? But damn, like really, they're committing to not having Austin around. So they're even going to do it via fax machine. And that's the part that gets me thinking, like, did Austin say, or did they legit give Austin this time off? Where, like, no, you don't even have to call in, because we've had call-ins, right, since 1996 on Raw. Where somebody would call in and do an interview. You know, even Austin was doing that back in 96, 97. Calling into the show to talk. Not being on camera. But here, it's a fax machine, so he doesn't even need to call in. And it's almost like a joke that he says, oh, this is modern technology. They have cell phones already.
Yeah, email.
Right, you can call. Yeah, you can just send the email. Oh, I guess they would need a computer there for the email in 2001. They didn't have computers at their desk. They just had monitors. But the fax machine is there instead because Stone Cold is actually not going to participate. Paul Heyman's just going to read faxes all night. So that's what's going to happen here. But it's still, you know, still fun nonetheless. And the tension continues to build. Is Stone Cold going to be here? So anyway, Angle comes out. He starts with some sad news. He says, word on the street is, once again, not scheduled to be here, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Maybe Austin says he's not showing up because maybe he is showing up. And he wants it to be a surprise. So JR butts in, that might be the case. Or maybe he's just a horse's ass. Then JR butts in again, that is definitely true. It is true. You know, Angle continues, I don't know. The fact is, he hasn't been on TV since I beat him for the WWF title. Woo! And JR, that's another fact. So JR, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it was funny like the first time. Right. And then when he keeps doing it, it's like, all right, dude, you're overstaying, you're welcome.
He doesn't stop, he goes on. So Angle says, so Austin, what's the deal? Are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed? Are you hungover? What? I love that. I love how he added the what after. Are you hungover? What? See, Austin, there's no shame in losing to an Olympic gold medalist. Here comes JR again. And that is true. Shut up, JR! Just shut up. Stop. You're not the funny dude. You're supposed to be like the voice of reason, not the guy trying to make puns. That's Paul E's job. That's Paul Heyman's job for the heels. Sometimes I think JR likes to do that. You know, he wants to have that role as the heel, but for the baby faces. Like the same kind of reaction that Paul Heyman would do or Jerry Lawler would do. It's like, you know, no, you're a straight guy. You don't need to be funny guy. So Angle continues on anyway. He says, there's nothing embarrassing about tapping out to relieve yourself of the horrible pain of the ankle lock. There's nothing embarrassing about relieving yourself in your tights after tapping out to the horrible pain. So he's insinuating that he pissed his pants, but the crowd gave him no reaction to the comment. Which I felt bad for Kurt. It's like, hey, you were trying to be funny, but it didn't work that time.
Yeah, they weren't having it.
So Angle says he doesn't want to embarrass Austin, and neither does anyone else here tonight. Angle tells Austin to stop with this ploy, stop playing games. And if he's back there in the locker room, you better come out here right now. Angle says, all right, Austin, that's the game you want to play. That's fine. Now, as far as the Dudley Boys go, because he has a little issue going on with the Dudley Boys from the last episode, but you have The Rock's music hit. The Rock comes out. The Rock's going to cut a promo. Then Shane McMahon's going to come out, and he's going to cut his promo, and that's going to set up a match for later in the show that, you know, we're not going to cover here, but it's The Rock and Angle and the Dudley Boys. No, not The Rock and Angle and Dudley Boys, but another match is going to be set up involving them that we're just going to bypass here on this episode and just stick with the Stone Cold and Paul Heyman stuff. So let's move on now to the first Paul Heyman received fax from Stone Cold Steve Austin. Happens at 18 minutes into the show. It goes about 2 minutes. So take a listen, and we'll be right back.
In God's name, what are you doing?
admission that I am embarrassed or ashamed because I am no longer World Wrestling Federation champion. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, resent the fact that each and every one of you people want to belittle me, humiliate me, and make fun of me just because I am no longer World Wrestling Federation champion. What? Oh, I get it. I resent the fact you are all against me. What? I resent. What? I resent that you openly and gleefully cheer for the man who stole my title, Kurt Angle, knowing how this must make me feel. And because of that, I most resent all of you just for being you. Signed, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Thank you very much.
That's the damnedest thing I ever heard. I see it. Why isn't he here? Or is this a setup? A fact.
I am so honored that I got to read that message from Stone Cold.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week on SmackDown, Spike Dudley got his bell rung by Xbox.
All right, so we hear the fax machine ringing and buzzing. And if you guys weren't living in the 90s, early 2000s, you don't know that sound. But it's an iconic sound. It's that same sound that when you used to sign up and join AOL would be ringing. That fax noise. So you hear that buzzing all throughout the arena. So you know it's bullshit. The whole arena hears it. So you have Paul Heyman stand up. He's grabbing the papers. Oh, and then he gets in his chair. I'm surprised he stood up in his chair. You would think that he'd be afraid of falling on his ass.
Yeah, well, he puts one. It is weird because he's got 1 foot on the chair and like 1 foot on the table. Yeah, so I guess he's a little bit more like balanced. But I mean, if your foot's on a chair, that's usually a little
right. If you have one, suspect. Yeah, because then it can just like slip out and you fucking fall on your ass on TV. So anyway, he's doing that. He reads the facts from Stone Cold Steve Austin. He says, I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, resent the hell out of the accusation that I am embarrassed or ashamed because I am no longer the WWF champion. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, resent the fact that each, every, and every one of you that wants to belittle me or humiliate me, make fun of me just because I'm no longer the World Wrestling Federation champion, I resent the fact that you are all against me. What? I resent. What? And keep in mind, this is Paul Heyman, as you just heard. Paul Heyman saying this. So it sounds goofy as shit. I resent that you openly cheer for the man that stole my title, Kurt Angle. And because of that, I resent all of you for just being you. Signed, Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's funny because, you know, of Paul Heyman, how he is today and how revered he is today. As a manager of Brock Lesnar's man today, Roman Reigns' guy. It's almost like he's the advocate for Stone Cold Steve Austin right here. I'm the advocate. Yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah.
He is. That's a good fucking point, dude.
So even back then, it's cool. So Heyman is honored that he got to read the facts. So Heyman warns JR to not antagonize Stone Cold Steve Austin because he's watching this show. He's watching. So watch what you say, JR. Yeah, it's a little foreshadowing also. All right, so that brings us now to the next Stone Cold facts. And this one happens about 10 minutes later in the show at 28 minutes, 55 seconds, and goes for a few minutes for Paulie to read it. And take a listen to that, and we'll be right back.
Well, Heyman's getting another fax, obviously. This is getting to be a little bit annoying. Paul, I mean, modern communication or not. Oh, for gosh sakes.
Excuse me? May I have your attention for a moment, please? I have received another fax from Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin, recognize that I am the greatest superstar in the history of sports entertainment.
I further recognize that I am a man among men, an American icon, and the leader of the Alliance. Therefore, I recognize Booker T and Test as the new WCW Tag Team Champions and congratulate them for their success. I further recognize that Rob Van Dam is a lucky, ambitious, talented star who is attempting to follow in Stone Cold's footsteps. And while imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I would remind RVD that no one can fill Stone Cold's shoes. Get someone to hold a...
What is this?
Hold the mic. I only hold this mic. That's my microphone. I only ask RVD to recognize that there's only one leader of the Alliance, and his name is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Thank you.
What in the world is going on here? Junior Baxter from Austin. But in no better, I think Austin has lost his courage.
I'm so proud.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so the fax machine is ringing again. Here comes another fax. It's coming in. Here it comes. JR is calling it annoying, just like that noise I just made was. So Paul Heyman again removes his headset. He stands up on the announce table with one leg, like JV had said, reads the fax from Stone Cold. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, recognize that I am the greatest superstar in the history of sports entertainment. My first thought was, Austin would never say that.
Never.
He would never say that. You know, this is fucking a script that Paul Heyman's just reading from somebody. Has nothing to do with what Austin would ever say. Austin is probably fucking chilling out, drinking some beers at his house right now. Probably not even sounds watching the show.
Right. Yeah, sounds about right.
Because I further recognize I am a man among men. I am an icon. I am the leader of the Alliance. Therefore, I recognize Booker T and Test as the new WCW Tag Team Champions, and congratulate them for their success. They had just won the tag team titles recently from Undertaker and Kane. As I further recognize that Rob Van Dam is a lucky, ambitious, talented star who is intending to follow in the footsteps of Stone Cold Steve Austin. While imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I would remind RVD that no one can fill Stone Cold Austin's shoes. Get someone to hold. And then Paul even stops. He stops reading as after he says, get someone to hold. And then he calls Howard Finkel over. Over here. Get over here. Over here. And he has Howard Finkel hold a mic. Fink holds his own mic that he already has. Paul Heyman continues to hold his own mic. So it's like he's calling Fink over to have him talking to the mic, but Fink has his own mic, he has his own mic. And anyway, I'll get to what really happened here in a second, but Heyman continues, I only asked for RVD to recognize that there's one leader of the Alliance, and his name is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And even Heyman does the RVD points as he says, Stone Cold Steve Austin. So what happened here, and I guarantee I'm right with what happened here. The papers that are coming out of the fax machine, are just the scripts that they're given, that Paul Heyman was given. So Paul Heyman was, you know, in the moment, he's reading what he's supposed to be reading as the fax from Stone Cold, and then he gets a direction in the script. And the direction is, find somebody to hold your mic, or get someone to hold your mic. But he's too in the moment, and he's just reading. So he reads, get someone to hold, and then realizes, shit, I'm reading the direction. So he pauses himself and kind of recuperates, and then calls Howard over. So he slipped, but he kind of rebound. But yeah, if you catch it, it's like, why would you say get someone to hold the mic? Like Austin's telling him, get someone to hold the mic. No, that's a stage direction, you know, in a script.
Yeah, and he read it out loud.
Right, he read it all up. All right, so we move on now to the next clip, which is the Stone Cold Facts number 3, And this happens at 1 hour and 2 minutes into the show. Goes about 2 minutes, so take a listen to this next. Facts from Stone Cold, as read by Paul Heyman. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Pardon moi, but I have yet another facts from Stone Cold Steve Austin. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, object to the degrading and disrespectful comments that have been made about me tonight by Jim Ross. I am not a coward. I am a courageous man, a man who has paved the way for other valiant men of honor to follow. In spite of what JR has said, I have not lost my self-respect. I have gained even more respect for myself because of who I am, and I respect the rights of others. Lastly, I am certainly not a bully. I hate bullies. I have hated bullies all of my life. I am a sensitive human being who respects the rights of others. Therefore, further degrading and disrespectful comments by Mr. Ross will result in me stomping a mud hole in Mr. Ross's 10-gallon head. Signed, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He's here somewhere, isn't he? Austin's going to be here tonight, and you're happy about it. Austin is going to be here, you dirty no...
All right, so Paul is going to read yet another fact from Stone Cold Steve Austin. Same approach, gets up, same thing over and over again. I did notice the people behind Paul Heyman, because it happens so often throughout the show. There's one girl that's behind them making, like, goofy faces all the time.
Yeah, in the red shirt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that, too. It was annoying.
Yeah, it's like, chill out, kid. Fucking being so stupid.
Ugh, she was so... And they kept cutting to him. Like, why are you...
Right, giving her...
She knew she was on camera, so she would just do it more.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. So, Paul Heyman says, pardon moi. I have yet another facts from Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he's just trying to make the best out of it now. He's trying to shake things up so it's not so stale over and over again. So he throws in the pardon moi. Then he continues with the facts. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, object to the degrading and disrespectful comments that have been made tonight by Jim Ross. And let me just take a pause for a second. Now, reading these and having written these down for the notes for me to go through this for this episode of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, as these are supposed to be written kayfabe-wise by Stone Cold, it's pretty clear to me now, based on what we know of Paul Heyman over the last 20 years, that he fucking wrote this on his own. He probably said something to the effect that, if I'm going to be reading them, let me write it. Let me write what is being said. Because these are coming off...
That sounds very accurate.
Completely like something that he would say today. Mm-hmm. Like, the way these are worded. So let me start again, so now you can listen to it with that effect of this is written by Paul Heyman. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, object to the degrading and disrespectful comments that have been made tonight by Jim Ross. I am not a coward. I am a courageous man. A man who has paved the way of other valiant men of honor to follow. In spite of what JR has said, I have not lost my self-respect. I have gained even more respect for myself because of who I am. I respect the rights of others. Lastly, I hate bullies. I have hated bullies all my life. I am a sensitive human being who respects the rights of others. Therefore, further degrading and disrespect from Jim Ross will result in me stomping a mud hole Mr. Ross's 10-gallon head, signed, Stone Cold, Steve Austin. Thank you, sir. That is Paul Heyman. Come on, right?
Of course it is. I couldn't figure out who did it at first, but I think you just uncovered it all, and I agree with it. Like, he would say that. Like, hey, if I'm going to read it, let me write it.
Yeah.
But I guess he you know, at that one point he forgot he was writing it like a script.
Right. Mic part. Yeah. Get the mic to, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he may have slipped. We do the same shit on our own show here.
Oh yeah.
We read shit
we do it all the time.
We're supposed to read. But anyway, yeah, man. I think I've uncovered that. That's all Paul Heyman shit. All right, so JR starts yelling at Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman knows that, you know, Austin will be here. Rather, JR's yelling that Paul Heyman knows that Austin will be here. And stop this charade. You know he's here. Stop reading these faxes. So this will bring us now to our last fax. Just the fax, ma'am, on this episode of Raw. So I like my own joke there. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing about that. All right. So we have the last fax. It's at 1 hour, 18 minutes into the show. And it goes about 2 minutes. So take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Willie. Willie, you should pay attention to this. I, Stone Cold Steve Austin, believe that WWF Commissioner William Regal attempts to do the right thing for WWF fans. Says it right there. The right thing for the WWF Commissioner to do is to entice Stone Cold Steve Austin to return to Raw and SmackDown. The right thing for the commissioner to do is to strip Kurt Angle of the WWF title and return the WWF title to me, its rightful owner. If the commissioner doesn't do the right thing, then at least Mr. Regal should do is to name Stone Cold Steve Austin number one contender and award Mr. Austin with a WWF title shot against the winner of tonight's Shane McMahon-Kurt Angle match. Or else. You understand that?
Or else.
See, Willie? Stone Cold Steve Austin wants you to know, or else. Now, this fax came to me personally from Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know what you're going to do, Willie? You're going to pay attention to that. Because when Stone Cold has a message for you, you pay attention. That's from Stone Cold Steve Austin, right to you. You understand me? That's a message from Stone Cold. From Stone Cold. Oh, excuse me. I'm doing the interview. Do you have a comment?
Mr. Heyman.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed for relaying that message to me. I wonder if you could possibly relay this message to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Taste left out of his mouth. All hail the queen. Not Heyman. Commissioner Regal sending a message to Austin through his messenger. How appropriate.
All right, so we get this last fax of the night. And just prior to this, William Regal had beat the fuck out of Lance Storm. Whew. Man, there's a spot in the match. I want to bring this up because I did take notes for what may have potentially been, you know, going over side notes. I always like to do that just in case we have time, so maybe we can throw it in every once in a while. But generally, I watch all the shows and take the notes on everything. And there was a spot, you know, a match with William Regal and Lance Storm. And early on in the match, Lance Storm hits Regal seemingly by accident or whatever, and it enrages. And enrages Regal, and Regal fucking goes Regal goes nuts on Storm. Like, if you watch it, you know it's Regal just going to town on him, fucking him up. Regal ended up with a busted nose, so it was a botched spot that led to a bloody nose, and Regal is pissed the fuck off about it, and kicks the shit out of him, and then gets the win in like 2 minutes over Lance Storm, who's generally been pushed as having good matches, but gets his ass kicked. I think Regal may have said like, this match is fucking over. I'm not working with this guy anymore. It's over. I'm pinning him. But yeah, go back and check that out. You can see it if you paid close attention. So anyway, Regal's still out there busted open as this new fax is coming in. And Heyman says, Willie! Willie! And that probably pissed William Regal off too. Like, fuck, now I got to deal with this fucking little promo here. He's calling me Willie. I said, Willie, you should pay attention to this. And then Heyman continues on with his
fucking Willie. So disrespectful.
Yeah. What an asshole. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin, believe that the WWF commissioner, William Regal, should entice Stone Cold Steve Austin to return to Raw and SmackDown. The right thing for the commissioner to do is strip Kurt Angle of the championship, return to me, the rightful owner of the WWF championship. If he doesn't do this, he should name Stone Cold Steve Austin the number one contender and award me with a match against the winner of tonight's main event between Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon. Or else. And then Heyman stops reading and he gets in Regal's face and says, or else. Stone Cold Steve Austin wants you to know, or else. Which again, you know, that portion of the facts that he read, that sounds again like Paul Heyman wrote it. And I know this doesn't happen. At least I don't think it happens. It could. They could have gone to the route where Heyman was just speaking for himself with these faxes and as a member of the Alliance trying to get shit done without Austin being there. Like he's the fucking Wizard of Oz, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like...
Yep.
Or playing that role like the Raw... what was the Raw thing with the computer? What the fuck did they call that?
Oh, the Mystery GM?
Yeah, the Mystery GM. It was like just making his own shit up on the fly throughout the episode. Because if you remember, early in the episode, Paul Heyman's warning JR, you better watch out, Stone Cold's listening. And then, you know, the next facts later is Jim Ross needs to shut his mouth. he needs to be careful. So it very well could be. And it's funny because the Wizard of Oz character, that Carney guy, he reminds me of Paul Heyman. He's the Wizard of Oz. All right, so Heyman gets all up in Regal's face. He waves the facts in his face. And Regal says he has a message, too. He has a message that he wants Heyman to give to Austin. And then Regal just smacks the shit out of Heyman. Whack! Boom! And that's the end of the segment there. And they cut to the next match. But JV,
it's funny how Regal looks like such a badass sometimes.
My God, here
you can even hear Heyman yelling "ow" as it cuts to the next segment, and then you know Heyman's kind of all bummed out on the side of JR.
Yeah,
but like we've even seen these moments of Regal where he looks like a badass with Stone Cold, like when Stone Cold try to walk into his his office.
Oh yeah, that's a great point to bring up because he's just been this badass dude that you don't want to fuck with as a GM. And he'll, from time to time, get in that ring. And like I was saying with the Lance Storm match, he got in that ring because Lance Storm stormed into his office, demanded something, and said, "No, get out to the ring, and I'm going to have a match with you." And he kicked the shit out of him.
Fucked him up.
So yeah, Regal's fucking looking good. I don't want to give anything away, but keep that in mind going forward. That we've said that Regal has been very convincing as this badass commissioner, because that's gonna play into something soon. All right, so let's now get to the match, the main event. It's Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon for the WWF Championship. So Shane McMahon's getting a title shot, and he has Rob Van Dam in his corner. So we're just gonna get right to the finish here. You're going to have RVD hitting the frog splash, or the five-star splash, on Kurt Angle, off of the apron, onto the floor. Nice spot there. So Angle's going to kick out on two. RVD tries to bring a steel chair into the ring, but Angle is going to see that, and he's going to drop kick the steel chair right into RVD and sends him back onto the floor. But the chair is going to remain on the mat. Angle gets the ankle lock on Shane while Shane's in the ring there. And Shane's going to tap right away. So, no chance for Shane. He puts up a good fight. It's a decent match. It goes for about 9 minutes. And Shane does a good job, as always. We've already seen a good match between these guys at King of the Ring. So, we know they can work together well. And they do that again here on this episode of Raw. So, Heyman apparently was not lying that Stone Cold Steve Austin is not going to show up. So, here it is. Another episode. No Stone Cold, and we're only hearing of him via fax, which I'm second guessing might not actually be him. Might just be Paul Heyman doing his own thing, covering Stone Cold's ass, talking for him. Either way, it could be kayfabe or it could have just been backstage. I'm writing this shit and it's going to sound like
me. I'm not writing this. Someone handed him crap and he's like, I'm going to fucking
rewrite this. I'll rewrite this. I'll cut a real promo. I haven't cut a promo in a long time. Give it to me. Yeah. It's the first, right. So you think Paul Heyman is somebody that likes to be on the mic and be on camera.
Yeah, it takes pride in his work.
Right. He's got an opportunity to be on four segments in these. And he's like, I mean, he's on commentary all night, so he can get himself over all night. But with a camera on him talking four times, he wants to be the one writing what he's saying. And they probably gave him that, like I said. All right, so anyway, Jim Ross is going to close out the show saying, where's Stone Cold? Where's Stone Cold? When is he coming back? When is he coming back? Kurt Angle is waiting. And that concludes the show. That leads us now to our last show to cover this week. It's SmackDown 110 from October 4th of 2001, Mobile, Alabama. JV, take us away.
So yeah, SmackDown 110 here in Mobile, Alabama, who are actually now the national champions again.
Mobile,
right?
Alabama.
Monday. Who, they beat Ohio State or something?
Ohio State kicked their ass.
Gonna watch college. But, all right, so this episode of SmackDown kicks off with a promo, and it's a lengthy one. We don't have the audio, so we're just going to just summarize and kind of walk you through it here. So it's Shane McMahon and the Alliance. So Shane comes out with the Alliance members and discusses Stone Cold's faxes from Monday Night Raw, and also Regal denying the rematch request, which is why the Alliance is here right now. Shane says, the people should expect what is right, and what's right is giving Stone Cold Steve Austin the championship, which is still wild to me. They just want Angle to give up the belt. Like, not even, like,
right,
you know, fight for it at this point. They're just like, nope, just give it back.
He has a stake in it. He made Austin tap.
Right.
And the referee didn't catch a result of Austin putting his hand on the rope, and there's no instant replay, so why just give it up?
You know? Right. I could see the defense of, all right, yeah, he is entitled to the match. I could see that. I can get on board with that. But just, you know,
yeah,
like, nope, keep the belt back. It's a little fucking weird. Right. So Shane now hits it with a surprise. Says Shane mentions a return clause in Austin's contract. So if Stone Cold Steve Austin ever lost the WWF title, he'd automatically be granted a rematch for the WWF title. So Shane calls out Regal to straighten all this out and grant Austin his rematch on Monday Night Raw.
Now to just cut you off for a second, it's funny how at this point, it's in Austin's contract to get the return match for the title, but now it's like commonplace for if you lose your title, you get a rematch right away. In modern day,
get confused as to like when that became like the status quo of losing the title. It's like, all right, you get a rematch.
I don't think it was that long ago. I think it's within the like past 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Constantly been that way because they get so much programming that it's so easy to say, all right, you got a rematch for the title on the next.
All right, good, Matt. All right, so Shane's calling out Regal here. He wants him out here, you know. So Shane and the, and if Regal doesn't come out and get this all straightened out, Shane and the Alliance are going to protest the entire evening in the ring. So naturally, Regal's music hits and he makes his way down to the ring. And right now, you know, typically, you know, we saw him in like his wrestling attire, but right now he's looking like an actual commissioner. He's all decked out in his suit. You know, he's ready to do business. So Regal has with him the contract. So he has with him Stone Cold Steve Austin's WWF contract. And he confirms that everything Shane said tonight is correct. Regal agrees to grant that rematch, but there is a slight problem. As you may recall, on July 22nd, 2001, Austin left the WWF and joined the Alliance.
Ooh.
So pipe bomb. So when Austin left the WWF, his WWF contract with all his stipulations became null. And then Regal begins to rip up the contract.
He does a shitty rip. He does like the corner rather than right down the middle.
Yeah.
Fucks it up.
I mean, that's how they do it in Britain. I don't know. Regal then tells Shane that Shane has nothing, which reminds you of Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Yeah. You get nothing.
Nothing. You drink the bubbles.
Regal says no rematch, no clauses, no contract. And as for the protest, if the Alliance doesn't remove themselves from the ring, he'll have the authorities or the WWF superstars backstage do it. Now, Shane's a little flustered. He's saying, hey, hold on. No reason to be brash. Shane has a proposition, not for Regal, but for Kurt Angle. So Shane, being the shyster himself, always gets another card up his sleeve. So Shane wants a non-title match, and that title match being Angle against one member of Shane's choice from the Alliance. If that member of the Alliance defeats Kurt Angle, then Regal has to grant Austin his rematch next Monday on Raw. Regal laughs at this proposition and tells Shane, I think you've taken too many hits to the head, sunshine. So, good back and forth there. Shane wasn't finished, and he actually wants to sweeten the pot. Shane says if Angle wins the match, then Monday night, Angle will face the WCW champion, The Rock. So, this is getting pretty good. This is getting juicy.
That's awesome.
I'm like, this is pretty fucking good TV. Yeah. So, Shane is now using Angle's competitiveness against them. That's how I kind of viewed it. Knowing that Angle will have the opportunity to be the champion of champions. Now, Regal is intrigued, but he's leaving the decision up to Kurt Angle. Regal is going to talk to Kurt Angle. Shane reminds Regal that Angle has nothing to lose and everything to gain. It's not wrong.
Not at all.
Angle's music hits on cue. He makes his way out, and he has a smile on his face. Meanwhile, on commentary, Heyman says in like a funny voice, I don't know if he had like something stuck in his throat or if he was just trying to be funny, but basically, what a deal Shane just offered the man. Like, he just says it.
Really? I didn't catch that.
So, and I actually went back and listened to it again. I'm like, did he say that fucking funny, or am I like tripping? So, Angle tells Shane he had fun kicking his butt last night. But how's the angle? How's the ankle? Which is funny because he didn't kick his butt last night. He kicked it on Monday.
Right. Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah, so he asked Shane, how's the ankle? Angle tells Shane to call his pal Austin and tell him, congratulations, he's still a horse's ass. So Angle accepts Shane's proposition. And he says, it's damn true. It's bloody damn
true. Nice Regal twist into it.
Regal twist there, yeah. So now this deal is done. And I tell you, wow, we got some big stakes tonight for, you know, a non-title match.
That's cool. I love it.
Television. I was like, you know, that was a long segment. It was like 12 minutes, and I was like intrigued the whole time, like interested.
Why is SmackDown always so good? It's like Raw sets the table, and then SmackDown takes it away.
Yeah.
So good at the time.
And even like now, like SmackDown's killing Raw and like...
Oh, yeah. I think SmackDown's kicking ass because of Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I mean, they're carrying shit. I mean,
they have the better characters.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So that brings us now to another promo about 8 minutes later after this promo or so. And it's Shane McMahon, and he's discussing Kurt Angle. So the Alliance members are backstage with Shane, and Shane's kind of faced with a dilemma. Shane needs to find, you know, at this point, Shane needs to figure out, all right, which member of the Alliance am I going to pick to face Kurt Angle tonight? So Shane wants to know who wants to step forward and face Angle tonight. And naturally, all the Alliance members, you know, react excited. Everyone wants to be that guy. Meanwhile, you can kind of, it looks like Booker T thinks he's like a shoo-in.
Yeah.
This is kind of funny. So Shane's going to keep it, you know, diplomatic here. He's going to say everyone is going to vote for one person to face Kurt Angle tonight. I'm assuming I think he should have said, I don't think he does. I'd have to go back, but he doesn't like mention, like, but you can't vote for yourself.
I thought the same exact thing.
All right. Good.
Like, yeah. It seems like they knew that because they were like, oh, I'll vote for you. So nobody was like, oh, I'm voting for myself. But yeah, you're right. You should have said, you can't vote for yourself. You have to vote for somebody else. Otherwise, you're all vote for yourself. Because he points out, like, you know, the problem is everybody wants to be against Kurt Angle. So that's when he should have said it right then and there.
Yeah, that would have been the same time.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, you got Terry Runnels. She's kind of holding like a box. And she's looking fucking hot. She's got like a white top, like crop top on. Her nipples are fucking beaming. You know, looking hot as always. So voting papers are then handed out to everyone by Shane. And we kind of cut away. So we, you know, there's a match in between. So about 8 minutes later in the show, you know, we pick up back on this promo and it's, you know, we're going to see the results of the Alliance votes. We're actually not going to see the results here, but, you know, it's just more Alliance voting coverage. So now we're backstage again with Shane and the Alliance. Everyone has voted. Now Shane takes the voting box and he's going to go tally up all the votes. Meanwhile, Booker T is still acting like he's a shoo-in. He even goes as far as telling Shane he's going to make him proud. And then from there, another few minutes later, you know, now we're going to get to see, you know, we're going to see how this vote plays out. So it's a promo and it's Kurt Angle and The Rock. So it's a split promo. It's Kurt Angle and The Rock. And then you got the Alliance settling the votes. So this one starts off with Kurt Angle and The Rock. Angle approaches The Rock in the locker room and lets him know that if he wins, he'll face The Rock for the WCW title. Now, meanwhile, like even on the Raws that the Raw we covered previously and the SmackDown, at one point, The Rock and Angle kind of have like a back and forth backstage, like Angle's with his book and stuff. Doesn't really apply here, but it just, these guys have really good chemistry together, you know, in the ring and, you know, on a microphone. So it's good to see these two guys, you know, they're just natural together. Yeah. It's like they have a natural competitive with each other, but you also see they have a natural respect. It's like, all right, The Rock's a movie star, but Kurt Angle's a fucking Olympic gold medalist, you know?
Right. That's a good point.
So they're both like, you know, they're both a big deal. So Angle wants to know if The Rock is cool with that. So is The Rock cool with Angle facing The Rock for the WCW title? And The Rock says he's cool with it. Hell of a match, home run, but it's not a grand slam. And every time The Rock steps to the plate, he's swinging for a grand slam. And that line pissed me off.
Yeah, because can't go for a grand slam.
Swing for a grand slam if you don't have people on base. You got to have three people on base to go for a grand slam.
You got
to
set that up, Rock.
Yeah.
What do you think, a grand slam is you hit it out of the stadium?
Yeah, dumbass. So Angle doesn't understand what The Rock is trying to say. And clearly needs it, Prue and I. So The Rock wants to make this the biggest match ever. The Rock then asks Angle if he's cool with that. Angle agrees. Let's make history. The Rock says Angle just has to whoop some Alliance ass. Angle says he'll see The Rock on Monday. And then from where we cut to the Alliance and Shane in the locker room. Just to give you background on why this is a big deal. Because I think the way the stipulation was initially teed up is Angle gets to fight Rock for the WCW title. But if Angle loses, he doesn't necessarily lose the WWF title. I almost kind of took it as if it was just the Rock being forced to defend his WCW championship against Angle with nothing in return.
I thought it was a unification match. I think they mentioned that.
Oh, did they? Because I didn't know how to take it. So I'm like, how did they make this bigger? So I assumed it was, all right, now Angle's going to put his title on the line against The Rock, too. So now you have both titles on the line, and then you got a winner take all. Then they both have a chance to be the champion of champions.
Right. Yep.
Does that make, was that how it was, that, though, or did I?
That's how I interpreted it. I don't know if it was word for word like that. They phrased it that way, but I'm pretty sure it was Kurt Angle gets a chance to get The Rock's title. They didn't say The Rock gets a chance to have Kurt Angle's title.
Right.
But the assumption would be it's title for title, right? I would think.
That was my assumption at first until we got to this promo. And then I was like, oh, that must not have been that must not have been it. Because, I mean, that's what's making it bigger. He's basically saying, how do we make this bigger? So I took that as implying, like, all right, we're both titles are going to be on the line. Not okay. Just one.
Yeah. You might be right then with that.
But I think it's just kind of like a loophole in their storytelling, like someone kind of missed that fine detail, or maybe we missed it in coverage.
Or it could be the fact that, you know, I don't want to give everything away, but we know where this is going. Maybe they already had one finish in mind already, so they didn't think about the Rock situation. Like, oh, what if the Rock wins?
True.
They weren't thinking of that because, like, that match isn't going to happen.
That's a good point.
So, All right,
so from there, we cut to the Alliance and Shane. And they're in the locker room. Shane is getting the members all riled up. You know, Shane's getting ready to announce the winner of the vote. And the winner is Rob Van Dam.
Who better than RVD? Right? Like you said earlier.
So all the members start cheering for RVD because they obviously support him. They look to him as like a leader, you know, the default leader with Stone Cold out. Clearly, Booker T is not on board. He's, like, pissed. He looks shocked.
Right, and to remind you guys that RVD already pointed that out to Austin that, you know, I could be, if people have already come to talk to me, I could be the leader if you ever want to take time off. So here it is, Austin taking time off, and RVD stepping into that spot. Oh, I'll be the leader.
So is Austin losing his spot at the top of the Alliance? It sure kind of, if I'm all Austin, that's definitely the way it looks.
Right. It goes back to what he thought when he was with McMahon, and that, oh, you guys don't respect me. Now he might be getting to that point again with the Alliance. Oh, shit, you guys, you don't respect me. Maybe I'm going back to WWF again. So we got to watch out for that, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So from there, we get into, you know, the match. It's the non-title match. For Austin to earn a title shot at Kurt Angle, and it's Kurt Angle versus Rob Van Dam. It's about an 11-minute match, and I'll go through it briefly for everybody here. So we got some chain wrestling to start the match. Each member is kind of, you know, just kind of feeling each other out. The action then is then taken outside the ring to the announce table. Angle beats RVD on the table, but RVD turns the tide when he tosses Angle into the steel stairs. Angle goes for a suplex on the outside, but RVD reverses and lays Angle out on the announce table. So right now, RVD's kind of in control. And he's going to kind of stay in control for a while with this match here. RVD definitely looks strong. So from there, RVD then hits a spinning heel kick from the ring apron while Angle is laying down on the announce table, which is a pretty cool spot. So he hits Angle pretty good there. Angle, you know, actually starts bleeding from the mouth after that shot. They get back in the ring. RVD misses a rolling thunder. And Angle briefly locks in the ankle lock. But RVD's able to kind of kick out and is still in complete control of this match. Angle then hits a big overhead suplex, regroups, and attempts the Angle slam. But RVD counters with a huge spinning heel kick. RVD then goes to the top rope, so it looks like he's going to try his finisher, the five-star frog splash here. He goes for it, but he misses. Angle then capitalizes on the opportunity, and boom, nails the Angle slam. Earl Hebner now, everybody's favorite ref, goes for the account. Yeah, hey, you got a picture.
Yeah, autograph.
Autograph picture.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, that's fucking so cool.
That's awesome.
It's funny too. It's like I hope you have that in like a prominent spot in your office because it's so random that it has to be like front and center.
I gotta get because
you want it to draw attention. Like, hey, who's that guy? Like people that don't watch wrestling that'll go to your house.
Yeah, who the fuck's that guy?
Yeah, who's that guy?
It's funny because he has a mustache too. So somebody might not even recognize him too if they knew. Like, oh, yeah, it's Earl Hebner.
So. Eller Hebner goes for the count, but the Alliance's referee, fuck this guy, Nick Patrick interferes and stops the account. I've never liked Nick Patrick, ever since the NWO bullshit when he thought he was cool. He really was like WCW's Eller Hebner.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. It's funny because he was actually a wrestler, too, before.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Not like a...
Oh, I forgot.
Kind of like a jobber guy.
Yeah. They're not jobbers. They're talent enhancers.
Yeah, fuck
enhancement
off.
Enhancement talent. Yeah. They're jobbers.
Jobbers.
So...
Fucking retroactive. treating them like that. Like, oh, they're not janitors. They're custodial assistants or whatever the
master
fuck.
Of custodial arts. That's that PC culture trying to fucking protect...
protect jobbers.
Jobbers. Fuck out of here. They're jobbers. And if you were in the business as a jobber...
You knew that.
You knew you were a jobber. Don't try to fucking glorify it.
Right.
So anyhow, RVD then attempts a sloppy spinning heel kick. So RVD's been kind of crisp most of the way here. But this is a really sloppy spinning heel kick he attempts here. Angle counters it pretty easily and locks in the ankle lock. RVD begins tapping immediately, but there's no ref. There's no fucking ref. So this
good job, Earl. Good job, Earl. And Nick Patrick. You both suck.
Well, someone else comes out, Little Nate.
Yeah, Charles Robinson.
Yeah, and he chases. He comes in and then just like chases them too. It's like, the fuck?
Shit show.
So this is the hell spot. It's probably the highlight of the match for me. Shane McMahon comes out of nowhere and hits like a flying headshot, which looks fucking cool with the chair to Kurt Angle. Wow, and then just kind of like smoothly hightails through the crowd. Like just, you know, the natural like.
Yeah, run in, boom. See you later. Yeah.
And how Shane does it cocky, like with a shocked face and shit.
Oh, yeah. Like he'll bounce over the apron, over the guardrail, and be like, oh, yeah. Oh, and back up. Like,
yeah.
Like, ah, shit. Fuck.
Shane's fucking awesome.
He's great.
So he's hightailing it through the fucking crowd. Now, of course, Hebner is up. RVD goes for the pinfall and gets the three count. The Alliance celebrate with RVD in the ring. So this is a big win. They're like cheering on RVD, raising him up. Like they're fucking... RVD's like the Alliance's hero right now.
Right. And RVD's the Alliance hero. But who benefits from this? Stone Cold Steve Austin is benefiting from this.
True, because he's getting the rematch. That's right. Good fucking point, dude.
Stone Cold's getting the title shot. RVD should get the title shot, but Stone Cold's going to get it.
That's a good point. So, yeah, from there, that leads us into a promo. And it's Commissioner Regal making an announcement. This one's at the 1 hour and 9 minute mark, if you wanted to give it a listen. Well, if you wanted to go back and watch it, I'm sorry. We're going to lay out here for the audio. And then we'll be right back to cover it very quickly.
It is my duty as the WWF Commissioner to indeed sanction a match this Monday night on Raw that will pit Stone Cold Steve Austin against Kurt Angle for the WWF Championship. It is also my duty to inform any member of the Alliance, any owner of the Alliance, or anybody remotely associated with the Alliance that they will not be allowed at ringside. In fact, they are all barred from ringside. We will find out Monday night on Raw who the better man is. In fact, we will find out exactly who the WWF champion will be.
Now that's a fair decision.
What do you think Stacy is doing?
All right. So Regal says it's his duty to sanction a match of Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle for the WWF Championship. He says, anyone associated with the Alliance, though, is barred from ringside, whether it be a wrestler, an owner, anything. He's very clear on that. And Regal says, we'll find out who the better man is. And that kind of ends our coverage, actually, of SmackDown. And that ends our coverage of episode 98.
Yeah. Stone Cold was AWOL. Stone Cold was MIA. He was missing in action this week. But everything still centered around him and where he was. What's going on with the Alliance? Is Stone Cold embarrassed that he lost at Unforgiven? And even still, all this time out, he spent 2 weeks on the shelf, not showing up. And Rob Van Dam earns him a rematch at the championship. Stone Cold didn't even have to be around, and he got a title shot. And now he's going for that title shot. And that's what we're going to be covering on the first portion of next week's episode, episode 99. It's Raw, and it's Kurt Angle versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, October 8th, 2001. Hell of a match. Join us next week for that. And it's damn good. And so much of what happened in this episode that we covered comes into play during that match. So I don't want to give too much away, but whew, yeah. So it's all linked. It's all good. It's well written. I can't believe how well written this month from, you know, from SummerSlam to now has been. It's been great shit. So, and it was nice to have a break from Stone Cold promos because it just built tension to when the fuck's he coming back and what's going on with him. And all this went down, and now he's coming back for a title shot to get that belt back. So I'm excited for it. It's going to be a good episode next week, episode 99. And we're going to take our quick little break and come back with the bottom line wrap-up. So take a listen to Alex Dorio talk about his podcast, Talking Taker. We'll be right back.
What's up, rattlesnakes? This is Alex Dorio, one half of the Talking Taker podcast. And even though Stone Cold might say DTA, don't trust anybody, we hope you'll trust us when we say if you love the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, you'll also enjoy what we're doing over on Talking Taker. Each week, my lifelong wrestling buddy and fellow creature of the night, Mr. Travis White, and I explore one pay-per-view match in the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time, The Undertaker. We're right in the heart of the Dead Man's second coming in the late 2000s. We've got over 125 episodes, so you can jump in from the beginning or pick and choose from some of your favorite moments, including every single Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match analyzed in detail, including a great crossover episode with our buddies here at the Bottom Line Cast. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, and you can follow along our journey at Talking Taker on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks to Mike and JV for letting us plug the show, and take her easy.
We're back now for the bottom line wrap up, and let's get started with the house show rundown. On September 29th, 2001, in Jacksonville, Florida, you have Kurt Angle, WWF champion. He's going to go up against Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, as we talked about earlier in this episode, Stone Cold Steve Austin was off TV, but he was not off the house show loop. He has a match with Kurt Angle on September 29th in Jacksonville, and he loses to the Olympic Slam. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin demands a rematch, and Kurt Angle beats him again, and Kurt Angle beats him with the Stone Cold Stunner. So, man, what a show they got in Jacksonville, Florida that night. Stone Cold losing twice to Kurt Angle on September 29th after Unforgiven. Then on September 30th, the next night in Biloxi, Mississippi, Kurt Angle is also going to defeat Steve Austin again with an Olympic Slam. And then on October 6th, 2001, they're going to head to Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Canada, Chris Jericho's stomping ground. And Kurt Angle's also going to defeat Stone Cold Steve Austin. And this time he's going to defeat him straight up with Stone Cold Stunner, his own stunner. So Steve Austin taking the losses to the champ, Kurt Angle, as they lead up to their return title match on Raw on October 8th. It's funny, though, on the house shows, you know, there's four title matches leading up to it, and Austin loses them all. That's what's cool about the house shows. All right, so let's go now to the Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week. Oh, hell yeah! JV, what do you got for your Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week? These are tough because we don't have a lot of Austin. We don't have really any Austin.
So, yeah, there's no Austin.
Just Austin in the background.
I'm just going to give it to, I'm going to have a hard time picking one moment, but I thought Regal was really good.
I like that, man. That's a good pick.
Like, I just think he does a good job representing WWF, because that's essentially, I mean, he's the commissioner. He's doing a lot of the speaking on behalf of WWF and even Kurt Angle. You know, when he has the initial discussion with Shane about the contract and shit, and then he rips it up. I thought that was cool. I like how he doesn't make the decision for Kurt Angle. He kind of defers to Kurt Angle, calls him out to make the decision. It was just good shit. Like, he's not like a key character ever, but in something like this, he really kind of brought a lot of color to to our coverage this week, and kind of helped, you know, he was the kind of glue that kept everything together.
Yeah, I agree with that. He did a great role. Man, what an excellent job Regal has been doing over the past few weeks. A couple of months, actually, as commissioner. You know, a lot of his commissioner stuff has been ha-ha, but now he's in the main story, and he's coming off like a badass. And I like it. And as I said, there's more to come with him in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, for us to be catching on to it here, There's something going on with him. So we'll get to that soon. But yeah, that's a good pick there. For my Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week, I'm going to go with Paul Heyman's performance during the faxes. And partly because I believe my theory is true, is that he wrote all that. And that was his moment to shine while Austin was out. That Paul Heyman here in his early run with WWF in 2001, he got this main stage to basically be Stone Cold Steve Austin, talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin, be the advocate, if you will, of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I think that's Oh Hell Yeah, just from my point of view. I liked it. I enjoyed it. There is some shit to it, and that'll bring me now to the Oh Hell No moment of the week. And I'll start first with my Oh Hell No moment of the week, and it's kind of simple. My Oh Hell No is no Stone Cold Steve Austin. At least, like, a video or something, like, let us know he's around, other than the facts. And it's kind of contradictory for me to say I like the facts with Paul Heyman, but I don't like the fact that Austin is not around at all. That's my Oh Hell No, really. It's just Austin should have had some kind of appearance at some point. Like, maybe at the end of this last episode, leading to the match that he gets on Raw for the title.
That's a good one. I hate to steal it, but it's a good point. I mean, we do this whole fucking show, this whole project, this whole podcast to see and cover Stone Cold. And we don't get to see him at all. This might be the first time.
This is the only episode.
Whole episode where we haven't had him on.
Right. This is the only time ever of 98 episodes. The 98th episode is the episode that we don't have anything from Stone Cold Steve Austin himself speaking, being on camera, nothing. No Stone Cold on this episode.
And the faxes don't sound like him.
Right, the faxes are fucking written by Paul Heyman.
Yeah, actually, so I'm not stealing shit. I'm gonna go the material and the faxes are my Hell No. You're an idiot to think that's Stone Cold.
And it's funny, we get a regular length episode basically out of no Stone Cold, but talking all about Stone Cold. Even still. You know, and in the past, of course, you know, we've had, especially early on, time where we had to skip shows because Austin wasn't on them. But we couldn't skip these shows because it was all about Austin.
Yeah, yes.
The story was all about Austin still. So even though he's not there, we still had to cover this because that was the story. Austin's not here. That's the story. We had to cover it. So, yeah. Even now, that makes me second guess myself because it's like, oh shit, that's pretty creative. But fuck, Oh Hell No, I want to see Austin a little bit. But we'll have to wait till next week. So upcoming on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast episode 99, and Raw from October 8th, we get Stone Cold Steve Austin against Kurt Angle. And then from there, we'll continue on to the SmackDown that follows up and the Raw that follows up from there, leading up to October 15th. So we're going to get to about mid-October next week. And then the next episode will bring us to No Mercy. And that'll probably be our, that'll be episode 100. And we'll get to No Mercy. And I believe that's going to be Kurt Angle versus Austin also. So we have that coming up in the next 2 weeks of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. We're going to try to stay on track here with our coverage of Stone Cold Steve Austin. We took a little break the past 2 weeks because of the Christmas season and the New Year's. So we're back on track, and we're heading into the 100th episodes of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. Thanks, guys, for listening, as always. And before we get out of here, though, I'm going to give some podcast plugs to our friends like Talking Taker, Alex Storio, and Travis White. They do the career covering The Undertaker, and they're heading to the end. They're in April of 2018. Man, only 3 years ago, less than 3 years ago, it was the greatest Royal Rumble, and it was The Undertaker versus Rusev. So we'll see how they do there with that episode. I'm sure they'll do a great job with it. This will be challenging because there's not much buildup. There's WrestleMania, and then it goes right to the greatest Royal Rumble with no storyline really leading up to this Rusev match. So I questioned whether or not they were able to get an episode out of Undertaker versus John Cena from WrestleMania that year, and they pulled it off. They did a damn good job with it. And Alex was at that WrestleMania, so he was able to add some filler in there, some entertaining filler with that. So, but now they have a challenge, Undertaker versus Rusev. So check them out. They have great episodes, as always. And go back and check out their archives. A lot of great stuff there. And we've been on numerous episodes of Talking Taker, too. So check us out over there on our watch-alongs that we did with them. Also, check out Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, Mike Mills, Hard Body Hopper, and Doc Turner. This week, on Thursday, they are releasing their episode of September 9th, 1989 of NWA World Championship Wrestling. Check it out. It's Booking the Territory. On our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast with Michael Quinn and Joe Morata, it's episode 207, and in their opening segment, What Went Wrong, they're going to talk about what went wrong with the WWF Light Heavyweight Division. Takamichinoku, that's all I think of when I hear that division. Takamichinoku. That's all there was to it. And then in the Royal Rankings, week four of the best feuds, the two new feuds that are brought into the ranking is Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, and the Macho Man. Two good additions there. We'll see where they rank. Also, they'll do a review in their last segment of American Wrestling Federation Warriors of Wrestling from July 1st, 1995, which was basically a ripoff of WWF. So all the old WWF wrestlers all were there, and it was goofy as fuck. So they're going to review that. Also, check out Free a Geek with our friend Jay Free, as he is breaking down the world of pop culture, movies, TV shows, video games, comics, whatever's going on in the world of pop culture. And this week, what's going on in the world of pop culture and the way that you could free your geek is to check out his review of Wonder Woman 1984 and the cheetah as the main villain there. Anyway, I kind of liked it. JV, you said you didn't really like it.
Well, I never finished it.
Oh, you so. Never finished it? All right.
I haven't even gone back and finished it yet.
That means it sucks.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I don't know. I just really liked the first one and the vibe I was getting at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like the same.
Totally different story. Franchise. Yeah. Yeah, they went a different direction.
Like, yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was like the same writer or director, right?
Yeah. Same crew, everything.
DC can't get out of their own fucking way.
They've always, well, yeah.
Unless it's Batman.
Yeah, well, since they tried to be Marvel, they suck.
But worst thing they did.
The standalone movies are good ones, like the Batman movies. All right, so last thing is our other podcast pal is us, Mike and JV. Check us out on the Extreme ECW Livecast. We're available at the Book in the Territory, patreon.com. $5 tier. We do ECW every 2 weeks. It's our side project, and it's a labor of love. We love to do it. It's fun. We just sit back and watch wrestling together. No preparation. Just sit back and watch ECW and talk about it. And currently, we've gone through 1993 up to September 27th and October 4th of 1994. So we've just got beyond where Shane Douglas throws down the title. And it is now called Extreme Championship Wrestling. We've covered all of Eastern Championship Wrestling. We're now on to Extreme. So check us out over there at Booking the Territory. Their Patreon feed, Extreme ECW Livecast. And also, you may have checked us out, our recent episode. We have it available on our Bottom Line Wrestling Cast feed, so check us out there. About every 3 months, we throw a free one on there to give you guys a little taste of the Extreme ECW Livecast. And now that we're in Extreme Championship Wrestling, it's time to sign up and get these episodes as they come out. And not just wait for the free one every 3 months.
You're waiting a long time to finish.
Yeah, you're going to wait a long time. All right, guys, so thanks for listening. As always, JV, any final words as we head on out of here?
No.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll be back next week, episode 99. Kurt Angle defends against Stone Cold Steve Austin, October 8, 2001. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this shit's over with, so get the hell out of here.